Amen. That's one of the reasons. Amen. Bless you, ladies. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're still working on. We're taking our time through this, and I know, you say, well, I know all this. Well, there's some things we just need to focus on here. And 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, chapter 1, verse number 1. You recognize these verses. You can probably quote them now. That's good. That's what we want to be able to do. Hide thy word in our heart that I might not sin against thee. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, received as a gift, like precious faith. That faith is the faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. For all of sin and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the faith he's talking about. So those who obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, not through our righteousness, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. So this is faith in Jesus Christ. To that, he says, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge, getting to know God, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And that goes along with according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. There it is again. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, be you in and abound, and make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, you don't have these things abounding in you. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That word lacketh has the idea, it's just not enough. We're lacking in. It didn't mean it's not there entirely, but just not enough. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you won't be neither barren nor unfruitful, but he that lacketh. We're just not coming up to snuff. And so we got to realize that this is a lifetime pursuit. Let's have a word of prayer. And I'm speaking on this topic this morning. Persistence pays. You could say it pays to be persistent, but persistence pays. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. There's a lot here we want to cover this morning. I want to be a blessing, encouragement to these folks. Lord, I want them to live in victory. I know the vast majority of the people in here know that they've received Christ as their Savior. They know they're going to heaven. They know eternity is settled. But yet we struggle through so many things. We wonder and worry about the tomorrow. I wonder if you're going to take care of us and whether we're going to be able to pay our bills and so forth and so on. Lord, you want to take care of this. Just like the ladies sang here. And sometimes I've seen people, Lord, get mad because people talk about how you provide all their needs. And I say, well, he doesn't provide all my needs. Well, Lord, it's not on your hand. It's not on your side, the issue. You're giving us the wisdom, and we've got to decide we're going to take advantage of your precious promises. And so, Lord, help me to explain these things. Help our folks to receive these things that they may be partakers of the divine nature and reap the precious promises you've given us for all things concerning life and godliness. So, Lord, I pray that you bless us here this morning. May your Holy Spirit move and give each of us individually what we need, not what we think somebody else needs or what's in general, but what we need. We know your Holy Spirit can do that and apply it to our hearts individually. So we put it in your hands and we ask for your help and give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Now, real quick review. First of all, you must have faith to add to it. The Bible says, add to your faith. Well, you must have that faith, that trust in Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and then you add to it. But if you want a great and precious promises of having everything you need for life and godliness, well, then you must add to that faith. Faith is going to get you inside the door of heaven. It pays for your sin. But the fact is, we have a God now. We've become a child of God. I am my Father's son. But if I had never paid any attention to him, never got to know him, never lived with him, never wrote him, never emailed him, never called him, never got to know him, I would be living. I would by blood be my Father's son, but not reaping anything of the benefit of having that relationship. Many people do the same thing with God. They have God as their Father. They're a child of God. They've received Christ as their Savior. And then they say, well, Daddy, I'll see you later. When it's time to go to heaven, I'll be home. Right now, Daddy, I'm going to go do what I want. When curfew comes, I'll be home. But meantime, I'm going to do as I please. A lot of people don't realize they have a relationship. We can add to that. So what do? We must give ourselves. These are all reviews, by the way, if you're visiting with us. But these are all review. But when I spend a lot of time, you know me, I'll re-preach the whole thing. I don't want to do that. So we must give ourselves to the task of abounding in the knowledge of Jesus. Not a little taste here or there, or something you got handed down, or you heard by gossip that this is what God is like. I'm talking about you abounding in knowing him. When you started dating that one you married, you didn't want to just kind of know whether their eyes were blue. You could look at them and find out their eyes were blue. But you wanted to know what was going on behind those blue eyes. You know what I mean? There was a relationship, and you wanted to abound in that relationship. You want to delve into it. You want to be immersed in it. He said, I want you to be immersed in a relationship with God. Now, the first thing we need to do, we learned this, first thing we need to add to our faith in verse 5 there is the word virtue. Remember, virtue is a word that means manliness. It means valor. It means doing what it takes to get the victory. Now, what's the victory? Over and over and over again, it says we need knowledge. So I need to do what it takes to get the victory. I need the knowledge. So I'm going to give. Here it is. Giving all diligence, add to my faith. Giving. That's my part. That's your part. God, you listen, don't just wait for God to zap it on you. You've got to decide to give your diligence. Diligence. Eagerness. Earnestness. Determination. You've got to give yourself to the task. That's what you're giving. That's what you. If you don't give yourself to the task, it's not going to happen. You know, it's kind of like, we have a school here. There are some kids who are given to the task. They're there to learn. They want to find out how much they learn. They want to learn. They want to be able to be ahead. There's some folks who are just not given to the task. They don't give themselves to the job at hand. The job at hand is to get to know God, the knowledge of God. So the first thing we've got to do is give ourselves diligently to the task, our time, our energy, our finances, whatever it takes. The second thing we need to add to faith, add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. It talks about the grace and peace be multiplied on you through the knowledge of God. According to his divine power, hath given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And then it says, giving all diligence to add to your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is literally the state of knowing. Knowing the facts. A lot of people know what the world thinks, but a lot of people don't know what God thinks. God's the one who made the world. He knows how it works. The world can say whatever they want, but I want to know truth. The word of God is truth. We need to know truth. We need to know the facts. We need to have studied and discovered. We need to know the information. We need to know what makes God tick and what ticks him off. We want to know what pleases God, what displeases God. What does God see as righteous, and what does he see as unrighteous? We're supposed to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we don't know what his righteousness is, then how do we know what we're looking for? Come on. We don't know what he wants, and we don't know where we're headed. You've got to find a destination that you're going to if you're going to get there. You can't just get on the road there and say, I'm gonna go to Florida. Well, flip a coin and see which road I take first. Of course, now around here, if you take a road that goes north, it'll probably come back around here anyway. We go around the mountain. But you gotta have some knowledge. So the Lord wants us to know truth. For this is good, acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's an awful lot of folks who are ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They learn all kinds of things, but don't let the Bible just say what it says. In Proverbs 1, he says the goal of these Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. We need to receive and take it. There are many folks who do not bother to increase their knowledge of God. They're not as productive as they could be. In fact, it says in verse 13 of Proverbs 1, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, even by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Reason of use. We got to use it. We got to use the Word of God. A lot of us don't use the Word of God. We've got it in front of us. And by the way, it's our choice whether we want to develop a knowledge of God or not. Again, Proverbs 1:22. "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof." In other words, do what you know to do right. "Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you." I'll help you understand the next part. "The word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path." If you're not willing to obey what you need to do now, God's not going to give you some kind of great epiphany about some other things. In fact, to tell you the truth, if you're not obeying him, and you're just kind of putting him aside, and you think you got an epiphany, chances are it wasn't him. Unless his epiphany was, you're not saved, you need to get yourself right with God. Second thing was, along with what we talked about last week, was how do you get knowledge? Well, first of all, you've got to want it. You've got to want knowledge. Proverbs 2 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear, perk the ears up into wisdom, and apply thine heart to understand. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." You want to find the knowledge of God. We need the knowledge of God to have the great and precious promises. But we don't have the gracious promises because we don't have the knowledge. Problem is, do you want the knowledge? If you will get it. If you will seek it, if you will seek with all your heart, incline your ear, perk up your ears like a little dog on the front porch waiting for, inside, hearing someone on the front porch. Yeah, that's really what it means. Do you have ears to hear? We got to want it. And if we want it, not only do we just say, "Well, I really, really want it." That's like sometimes these talent shows. I say, "Why do you think you ought to win?" "Because I really, really want it." All right, I'm glad you won it. You're going the right direction, but it takes more than that to win. You know what it says here? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We'll stop making stupid decisions. We'll stop embarrassing ourselves. We'll stop falling if we will study the word of God. I mentioned that last week, and one of our fellows, it was a bank teller for some years, and I talked about how by reason of use, you know, he talked about you can tell they teach you what the real dollar bills look like, and then anything that doesn't look just like that is a counterfeit. Okay, he said, "Well, the fact is, by reason of use, is that by the time you've handled so much money, you can feel the difference." You're counting money, all of a sudden you can feel that it's wrong. And so you can find a lot of counterfeits just because the little things that maybe we wouldn't catch. But he catches. Why? Because he uses it all the time. Same thing goes with the Word of God. Listen, we want God to tell us, "Well, God never tells me anything." Well, you're waiting for a 2x4 upside the head? I think some people are, you know. And God, the Lord says, he says, "I want to guide you with mine eye." Don't be as a horse that needs to be guided by a bit and a bridle, twisted around and jerked around to obey. He says, be sensitive. Listen, we got Mother's Day today. How many of you had a mother when you knew what she went what she meant when she went? She didn't say a word. You knew exactly what she was. She was guiding you with her eye. You were sensitive by reason of use. You've been there before. You know what she's saying. And listen, we ought to be so sensitive, so around God so much. So when God goes, you know what he's saying. There's people who read the Bible and say, "Well, I don't see that in there." That's because you don't use the Bible enough because that little phrase right there reminds me of 15 other things that I've read in my Bible, and it's reminding me of these things. You need to know him. Study, or else we'll fall for lies. We ought to study systematically. That's why we're doing what we're doing here. That's why we do on Wednesday night. That's why we do what we do in Sunday school. Listen, there's a lot of places where Sunday school is mostly fellowship. Now, fellowship is good. I like fellowship. I like swallowship along with the fellowship. I like all those kind of things. But the fact is, we only have a couple hours on Sunday morning. We've got to make good use of that because the world is filling our heads with all kinds of things 24/7. And we've got just a few hours, we're out of here. So we've got to be studying systematic. God's given us pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body, for the building up of the body of Christ, so we all come into the unity of the faith. But the fact is, these days we can have our own Bible. We can read our own Bible. In fact, Isaiah 28 says, "Whom shall he teach the knowledge?" You say, "Well, I need the knowledge of God. I need to come to the knowledge of God." Okay, who is it that gets to learn the knowledge of God? "And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Sounds a little boring already, doesn't it? He repeats himself. It's kind of redundant. Line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Listen, you know, it takes five times for you to hear it before you believe it. It takes you hearing it five more times before you believe you need it. And it takes five more times to hear it before you believe that you need to heed it. It's just the way we are. And see, well, you said this before. You said, "I know, but we're not doing it." At least some of us aren't. We need to take the Word of God. We need to study. And listen, we need to have the Word of God constantly in front of us. In Deuteronomy, he's talking about how he said we should teach our children. But he starts out this. He says, "Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children." We've got to have it. Sometimes teachers learn more of being a teacher than a student. And a lot of folks said, "You know, I've learned more now that I'm a teacher." Why? Because you've got to digest it so that you can give it back. I don't want to say regurgitate it, but that's not very nice. But you got to digest it so you can get it back. And so you learn these things. And so we need to learn. And so what to say? This is put them on the door fronts, the doorposts of your house. Talk about it when you get up in the morning. Talk about it when you go to bed at night. Talk about it when you're walking away. Along the way. Know that you need to take full advantage of the Word of God teaching us. In fact, that's why I said take full advantage of what's going on here in the church. He says, "For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ." Now, some of you are going to hear this message this morning. You're going to say, "I've heard all this before." However, there's an admonition that I'm going to try to get to real quick here in this passage that's easily overlooked. And basically makes everything else of no effect if we don't listen to it. Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, it was the least I could do"? And then there's the old joke that says, "Well, don't let it be said I didn't do the least I could do." You get the joke? Okay, you didn't laugh. I just make sure you got the joke. Don't let it be said I didn't do the least I can do. Well, listen, I believe that there are times when we do the least we can do, and we still expect the Lord to do great things for us. The Lord says he has great and precious promises. He wants grace and peace to be multiplied to us, and he has called us to glory and virtue. But after he explains what we need to do to get those things into our lives, he says the promises will come when these things abound in you. If we stop abounding in these things, we can expect to stop abounding in the blessings of God. Now, the Lord will never leave thee nor forsake thee. However, look at a simple characteristic of the Lord here. In Joshua 24:20, he says, "If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." See, a lot of people start living on their laurels and, "Well, God's always been good to me. I'm going to go," you know, we start going out doing our own thing. And then we wonder why things start falling apart. Because we're no longer following the Word of God. The principle is the promises will be multiplied on you as you abound in these things. If you stop abounding in these things, we can expect the promises to stop abounding toward us. Let me give you number one here this morning. A couple statements. Those who do not seek the knowledge of God are fools and will fall into the traps of the world. In Proverbs 13, it says this. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors, in other words, you're not doing what God tells you to do, whether you know it or whether you don't know it, but you're not doing what God wants what you do, the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. That says, whoso despiseth the word. You got to understand that. Now, around here these days, we use the word despise. I mean, like, I despise her. You know what I'm saying? Just hate with a vehemence, you know? Now, but that's not what the word despise here means. Despise here means to make light of. No big deal. It's just not really important. We said, well, that doesn't have much. Well, suppose I said, that's my wife down there. She's no big deal. Now all of a sudden it hurts. See what I'm saying? And so their feeling, it's not so much that the hate is coming this way, is that the hurt is coming out of our heart. When we despise the word of God, you know what we're saying? God, what you say is no big deal. There's a lot of people who live with that mindset. If it was a big deal, we'd be reading it. If it was a big deal, we would at least be coming to hear what it says. If it's a big deal, we would try to live by it. But if we despise it, he says, he whoso despises the word, watch, shall be destroyed. Now that's what he said. He says, in other words, things are going to break down. Things are going to fall apart. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be good. But he says, a prudent man dealeth with knowledge. You know what he's doing? He said, I want to make sure I'm doing this right, so I'm going to get out the rule book, and I'm going to read this thing, and I'm going to live by it. In Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. He says, if you've got any sense about you, you're going to want to know what's going on. Right? Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So if you want to understand life, you need to have the knowledge of the things of God. So we need to stay in the word of God, because in it are the truths of life. Proverbs 30, verse 2. This is an interesting little word, a phrase here. Proverbs 30, verse 2 says this. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name? That's Old Testament. What is his son's name, thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You know what he's saying there? He says this way, I am more brutish than any man. That word brutish is a funny little word there. It means to be eaten by cattle. So what does that mean? It means the grass. He says, I'm as dumb as grass. I'm as dumb as grass. I'm not just dumb as a cow, I'm as dumb as grass. He says, listen, watch. He says, I'm as dumb as grass, watch, I've neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. If that's the case, and that's why I'm saying, who hath ascended into heaven? Who hath descended? Who hath gathered a wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name? Thou canst tell. You know what he's saying? I'm as dumb as grass if I can't realize there's a God out there who made all this. And yet we're teaching our children to be as dumb as grass. We want to strip them of all this truth. In fact, it says, every word of God is pure. He's shield of them that put their trust in him. Why does he put that on there? If you want God to be your shield who put your trust in him, you've got to trust him. But if you're not even willing to acknowledge who he is, you're not trusting him. So you can't expect him to be your shield and defense. So, well, you know, we've got this, we've got, you know, we've got, you know, what do you call it? Oh, what's the word? I would say, theistic evolution. That's not the really word I'm looking for. In other words, God got it started and the rest of it just happened. No, it took millions of years for each stage, but God got it started. No, he made the world in 7 days, 6 days, and rested on the seventh. Well, so, well, I don't know. That's what the book says. If you make light of that part of the book, you're despising the Lord, and those who despise the word of the Lord shall be destroyed. In fact, he says, the words of God, and this here he says, who is he? I don't know who he is. He says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield of them that put their trust in him. That add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Don't say otherwise. Proverbs 40:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them. They are health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left hand. Remove thy foot from evil. Know the word of God. And knowledge of God gives us life. John 17:3, this is a prayer of Jesus. It says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If you don't know him, you haven't started life. Psalm 14 says this, a fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if they were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Watch. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Don't they understand who they're dealing with? Who eat up people with their eat that as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Don't they realize who they're messing with here? We go and do what we want because we have no knowledge of who he is. And in this context, what is being said is that if we stop abounding in the knowledge of God, we can expect to find ourselves falling into the traps of this world. Now, I'm going to spend a lot of time on this point. I'm going to give you something here. Number two here. We must know God if we're going to dwell on God, and we must dwell on the Lord if we want the peace of God to be multiplied in our lives. He said, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of him. Now listen, Isaiah 26:3 says this. Thou wilt keep, and by the way, everybody wants peace these days. I heard again this weekend. They're talking about children, 10, 11 years old, who are taking their lives or at least contemplating it because they feel like they have no hope. Hope thou in God. But we have ripped that out from underneath them. Listen, that's why we have Sunday school. To teach them the things of God now. And by the way, we have Sunday school for adults too. To teach us the things of God now. Because listen, our little minds, our hearts are like sieves. Stuff starts leaking out. And we stay awake from God long enough. We start making decisions again on the things that we're hearing all the time 24/7. And the knowledge of God just kind of gets caught in the back. And it kind of goes back in the shadows. And we stop making decisions about that. Listen, there are some people, if they just understood God, you say, well, why don't they see it this way? Because they have no fear of God. They're just worried about what is going to be convenient for me right now, my immediate pleasure. And that's why it says in our passage, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Can't see that the decision we're making now is going to affect us down the road. They don't understand these things. They don't have any insight. Listen, if we keep giving everybody money, that sounds nice. You do what's going to happen is they're going to stop working and expect you to take care of them. And then they lose all self-respect from themselves. The Bible says a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. And we all have to work. And we start doing these kind of things, we are going to damage our nation. We damage our kids. We damage, we make so many problems. And Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, watch, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The knowledge of God is going to give us peace. Why? Because we know who it is we're trusting in. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know what we just said? If God is not in all your thoughts, you're wicked. It's wicked. And now, I'm not saying you spend every day thinking about him on the cross, though we probably should to a certain extent. But what it is saying is, God is in all my decision making. If I decide if I'm going to see where it's going to be, what's he say? How am I going to raise my kids? Instead of going, you dumb kid, what's the matter with you? Don't you have any sense? God says, would Jesus do it that way? Because you say, that might blow us. Well, I'm just blowing off steam. Yeah, but you just destroyed their spirit. Daddy says, I'm a dumb kid. And I don't have any sense. I can't tell you how many folks that I've counseled over the years who is still hurting them because dad said, you're a fool. You're stupid. What's the matter with you? That's not the way God was not in his thoughts when it came out of his mouth. If God was in his thoughts, he would say, now, son, that's not a wise thing to do. The Lord says, and usually word of God should come out, a verse or whatever it is. And here's what we need to do. Here's how we need to do it. And I mean, there was a time, I remember Nathan one time. He was young, and I said, and I had to paddle him. Didn't do that a lot. Really, I didn't do it a lot. But I said, God made me your daddy to teach you what's right. And if I let you do this, I'm not doing my job, and I'm going to hurt you worse by not making you hurt now. Because I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to make sure you remember what I said. Something of that. You do remember that? Probably don't. Do you? You actually remember that? Well, okay, good. But it's the point. I didn't want to do that. You know, I want to be the nice guy. I want to be the cool dad. Everybody wants to be the cool dad. But what I want to be mostly is the faithful dad, the godly dad, and the one who follows the law according to God's word. Isaiah 65:2 says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. And Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise, look down on wisdom and instruction. Now, what time it is. There's two things, real quick. I know it's time to go out the door already. There's two things I want you to see. And listen to me. We add virtue to our faith. That's determination to get the victory. And determination seeks the knowledge of God, no matter how difficult, how uncomfortable, how painful, how inconvenient it may be. But then he says to knowledge, temperance. Add temperance. Temperance is self-control. That means to control oneself. That means to be strong and the master of one's mortal ways, if you will. Too many people are slaves to their sin. The Bible says, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, to whose servants you are. We're all serving somebody. Sometimes we're serving our flesh, sometimes we're serving the Lord, but we're serving somebody. Now, we are a trichotomy. We are a body, soul, and spirit. We live in this body is what we see, but this is just the vehicle we use to interact with this world. We have, there's, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, there's a physical body, there's a spiritual body. The spiritual body is what we live in that interacts with God. The soul, which is the real you, your mind, your will, your emotions, that's you. That's living inside this body. If I become totally disfigured, I may not look like anything on the outside, but I'm still the same soul on the inside. And even if my body stops working, the soul's on the inside, I just cannot interact with what's going on the outside. We're a body, soul, and spirit. Now, the Bible says that when that God told Adam, the day you eat thereof the fruit thereof, thou shalt surely die. But what died? His spirit died. Now watch it. Look at this. We have outlets around this building. If you turn off the breaker and you try to plug something in, you're going to say, this thing's dead. There's no power. There's no power going through this anymore. That's what it meant. It meant our spirit was dead. We no longer were interacting with God. Well, what happens when we receive Christ? He says we're born again. In fact, it says the Spirit quickens us. That brings our spirit back to life, and now we have access to God all over again. Now, if you're a Christian, you got your soul, you're still living in your body, but you've got a spirit which is interacting with God, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit, letting you know you're a child of God. The problem is, who am I listening to? Am I listening to my body, or am I listening to my spirit? Now, I've got a self-control. I know that if I listen to my body, I'm going to eat 3 pieces of cheesecake. And at the end, I'm going to go, oh, my soul, I'll never do that again. Till tomorrow. And then, so my body does, it will leave me and say, well, I have to have it. And when I'm all done, I realize I shouldn't have. Or I could decide that I'm going to listen to my spirit and do what God says through His Word, which was written by Him. This is the Spirit of God moved holy men, and they wrote as they were moved by God. And that's where we got these truths, a more sure word of truth. Now, temperance is as self-control. Watch me. Too many people are slaves to their sin. We need to, force ourselves to strive to be free from the sinfulness and to strive to practice the righteousness. We've got them. Too many people are just expecting God to zap it on us. We have a choice. Aren't you glad you have a choice? We all want to be able to do as we please. Well, God says you can do as you please. But this is you're going to may have a bad result. You may have a good result. But you're going to do as you please. We force ourselves to go to work because we know we need to eat. But we do not force ourselves to consume the Word of God because we think we can get along fine without it. Our delight should be in the law of the Lord. We should hunger as the deer panteth for the water. So my soul panteth after you, Lord. I'm thirsty. I want to know truth because I know the truth is what I need. What it does is shows us how foolish we are. We stumble in the darkness, but we're too foolish to turn the light on. Psalm 119 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what I need to know. Now, what we need to do here is exercise your will. Exercise your will in favor of God rather than in favor of our flesh. You hear what I'm saying? Exercise your will. Now watch me. Psalm 119, verse 8 says this. I will. And that word means the exercising of your will. This is what I'm going to do. I've made a determination. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. He says, I know that God won't forsake me utterly if I'm keeping His statutes. So that's what I'm going to do. So he's basically saying, I'm going to live by faith of keeping His statutes because God has promised me in other passages that He's not going to forsake me if I'm doing what He wants me to do. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I'm making a decision. You got to decide. Psalm 119:45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. And I will speak of thy testimony also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Listen, we are strong-willed about so many things in our lives. Listen, you just go over here to the nursery, you'll find out that they have a will. I love my grandson, Levi, but he has a will of his own, does he not? He's a smart little kid. And we say, oh, they're strong-willed. Strong-willed is not wrong. Strong-willed is good. I don't want a weak-willed child. I want a strong-willed child. Point is, I want that strong will pointed in the right direction. If we train it on the way it's supposed to go, then it will go that direction. The Bible says that blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Didn't say blessed is the mother whose quiver is full, but said blessed is the man whose quiver is full. And that means, but we've got to train those arrows so that we let go of the string, they don't go. Listen, if we've trained those things, we've lined them up, we've got them straightened out there, when we let go of those arrows, we're going to know exactly where they're headed. Because we've trained them, we've led them in the Word of God. It's supposed to be in our heart, and then we give it to them, we teach them our children. So we know where they're going. We don't know where they're going because we're not trained. It's not because we're not trained ourselves. You say, well, no one trained me. Well, do it to yourself. If mother and father forsake you, the Lord will take you up. He'll finish the job if you need to. But you got to decide, we're going to do this. I'm going to train my will. And so strong will is not wrong. Often we are strong-willed in wanting to do as we please and not as the Lord pleases. We talk about being our own man, but not allowing anyone to push us around. And then why can't we be strong-willed, trusting and obeying the Lord? I'm not going to let anybody get me off of following the Lord. Not to the right, not to the left. I'm strong-willed. I not want the Word of God. Nothing's going to stop me from that. Don't tell me you can't choose to take control of your own life. Don't tell me you can't take control of your life. You make decisions every day. Well, I just have a problem with that. Because you have not decided that what you need to do is have the knowledge of God. Now, real quick, I know it's time to go. This doesn't take long because it goes right with it. Giving all diligence, add to your faith, your trust in Christ, virtue, the manly valor to do what it takes to get the victory. Okay? What it takes to get the victory is the knowledge of God. So I will do whatever it takes to add the knowledge of God to my faith. So that includes not letting my laziness, my selfishness, my disinterest, and my comfort, and my convenience get in the way of obtaining the knowledge. So I must exercise self-control, which is temperance. However, just a few days of temperance will not do the job. I must continue to add to my faith and re-add to my faith so that nothing slips away. So I must add, he says, patience to the process. And stay at it. What's that patience? Cheerful endurance. To stay under the weight. To continue. To be in for the long haul. To endure the process for as long as it takes. And by the way, it's a lifetime pursuit. It's like the little boy. He went to kindergarten and said, well, Mommy, we learned all our ABCs. Our numbers all the way 10. I don't have to go back tomorrow. And we think, well, I know how to get to heaven. Good. So I don't need to go back to church. I already know it all. No, you know what I found? The more that I know, the more that I know I don't know. And listen, I'm 62 years old. I've been saved over 50 years. Boy, that's a long time. It's old. I've been saved over 50 years. You know what I found? There's still things I'm learning. It's sweeter every day. The half has not been fancy this side the golden door. It becomes sweeter every day. Sweeter as the years go by. Sweeter as the years go by. Richer, fuller, sweeter. Jesus' love is, well, deeper, sweeper. Yeah, whatever it is. Sweeter as the years go by. It is. Now, watch me. We go to school for 12 years plus so we can live in this world. Why can't we take the time to grow in the Lord? All good things take time. We spend hours and hours, day after day, working on a hobby or reading some love novel. and we can't find time to get to know the Lord. We will spend money to go to the shore and float in a boat on the weekend, but our schedule's too busy to get the knowledge of God of the universe. There are some folks who are professional students. They're forever taking college courses, classes, and they are forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, these things are not necessarily bad, but they're lacking the knowledge of God, which not only limits the blessings of God's lives, but actually is harmful to our souls. Proverbs 4:10, I'm almost ready to turn the last page. Proverbs 4:10 says this, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened." Straightened means like a straight jacket. "And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked." Don't go not after the way of evil men. "Avoid it, pass by it, turn from it, pass away. They sleep not except they have done some mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Now, we could go on and on and on concerning the topic of wisdom and knowledge, yet so many people who are saved by the blood will miss out on the glory, the victory, and the Christian life simply because they stop with their faith in Jesus Christ and they fail to give all to add the knowledge of God to their faith. The days we live in now, peace can be elusive. The Lord says He wants to multiply His grace and peace towards us. And I read it. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Goes on. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Psalm 119, 164, watch this. "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You know, he said seven times a day. He doesn't say you've got to count seven. What he's saying is this, he's on your mind. What God wants is what I want. And by the way, great peace have they which love thy law. I love him telling me what to do. And that word peace there means this is, and nothing shall offend him. That means nothing shall cause him to stumble. I'm not going to buy into some lie. I'm not going to go down some wrong path because I've taken the word of God and I line up things next to the word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's counterfeit. "And great peace have thy, we love thy law," because nothing's going to cause them to stumble. Lastly, Psalm 419, we've already said it. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart." In other words, temperance and patience. Keep it going. "Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life."